Matt Reister, Executive Director for Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Thanks for your interest in this episode of Homer Larson Live, which is a series of sermons preached live by Pastor Homer Larson, who served as senior pastor at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa from 1953 to 1996. I'd also like to say thanks to Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry for sponsoring the Homer Larson Live series. You'll have a chance to learn more about their organization and ministry during the announcements at the end of this sermon. And one more thing before we get into it. The Homer Larson Live series does not exist primarily to raise up a man, but rather to raise up the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word, which the Lord gifted and used the man, Pastor Homer Larson, to communicate clearly and passionately. We pray that you will be inspired. We hope that this will help raise the bar around preaching for everyone who listens, and we trust that God will accomplish his purposes through the message you're about to hear. I'll talk to you afterwards. Thanks again for finding us and making this a priority.
Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we do return thanks to you for the honesty of your word, for that word that reminds us how we will be blessed if we but take you and the promises that you have given to us. But also help us to understand that there is the other side to Christianity, that there is that side where we take up our cross and follow you. So, Lord, help us to learn what you have to say regarding that side of our faith as we turn to the Scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends in Christ, as I live here in the community and talk with people, obviously because you're a preacher, they're anxious to talk to you about what's happening in the Christian faith and what the Christian faith really is, you are bound to pick up some of the misunderstandings that people have regarding what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. This may be an overstatement, but I believe that many people, if not the majority of people, in a given community, do not have the foggiest idea of what evangelical Christianity really is. Now, they call moralism Christianity, humanism Christianity. All kinds of things become Christian. If you live a good life, you're a Christian. And when you really get down to talk to people about what Christianity really is, you soon come to understand that there are so many things people have a misunderstanding about when it comes to the Christian faith. So in this short series of four sermons, I have tried, or I'm trying, to deal with some of the things that I find that people do not quite understand. I'm not saying that they're not Christian. I'm just saying that they're very misinformed Christian. They evidently have not really been able to go into the depths of God's word and see what the Christian faith is all about. And so we talked a couple of weeks ago on the general theme that God's word simply does not change. You can't adjust the word of God to satisfy a society. Last week I talked to you about the church is not another organization. This is another thing I find, that I belong to the Rotary Club and I belong to the Elks Lodge and I belong to the church. It's kind of three in one in three type of a thing. That's not what the word of God has to say at all. Today, I'd like to talk with you about the other side of being a Christian. This, for me, has been the most difficult sermon to prepare, because I don't want to come off as a legalist. Now, do I want to come off as one who's trying to discourage anybody from becoming intimately related to the Lord Jesus Christ? But I am anxious to be true to the Word of God and let you know what the cost is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Any PR man, any advertising woman would say this is not a very good sermon, where it would really cause one to say, sit down and think before you move. And that's what our Lord Jesus Christ did. Have you ever said, or have you ever heard somebody else say, if I had known the full picture, I'm not so sure that I would have become involved in this particular venture? When you and I say that, we are then having difficulty distinguishing between what the whole plan was, what the image was that we had regarding a particular thing, and what the reality of it really is. Let me give you a couple of illustrations. I have stood, as any pastor stands, beside hospital beds where people are being treated for an illness. I think of it today, especially when I see them going through these difficult hours with chemotherapy and things of that kind. And more than once I've heard them say, if I had known it was going to be this bad, I am not so sure that I would have agreed to the treatment. But you see, when you sit in a doctor's office and you're diagnosed as having a terminal illness, and the only chance that you have possibly of living is to go through this treatment, you say, okay, I'll do it. And in the middle of it, when you are so sick that you can hardly hold up your head, you say, boy, if I had really known how tough it was, I would not perhaps have accepted this treatment. Now, did the doctor fail to give the full picture? Probably not. Probably told him right out exactly what it was going to be, but the emotion of it all causes us to say, nah, I better try it anyway. The alternative is not too good. I have sat with many broken-hearted women, once in a while a man, but most often the women, who have had a very unfortunate marriage, and the person has painted a picture of her husband. I said, can you tell me, why did you ever marry him? Why did you marry him? And she would reply to me again and again, if I had known he was that kind of a person, I would never have married him. Love is blind. And I failed to understand that this is the kind of a husband he would be. And so there's the lament. In other words, she had trouble distinguishing between the image that he had given to her of himself and who he really was. Now, we are guilty of that sometime in the church. And you're looking at a person who has been very guilty of it for 45 years now. I've roamed around. My desire has been always build the church, build the organization. Out in the nighttime, knocking on doors, wouldn't you like to join the congregation? We've got so much to offer you here. We've got a brochure, you know, that we take along with us that can really make your head spin, all the things that are offered to you here in this congregation. I think that's okay. I'm all for it. I continue to do it. I love to do it. But it is very seldom that I have said, now look, it doesn't take anything to join Nazareth Church. If you're not a Lutheran, we ask you to go through 8 easy lessons. If you're a Lutheran, all we got to do is just get a transfer for you. That's all you want. And then come on, just sit here. And we bring them in. We're going to bring some more in next week. I love that. I just love that Sunday. And I love to see all these new people come and see the congregation spotted with new faces, even though I can't call you by name. I love that. But not very often have I sat down. And I wonder how often most pastors have sat down and said, hey, look, if you really want to get serious with Jesus Christ, there's the other side to the Christian faith. No, not often have I at least done that. Maybe some others have. And as a result of that, There are many people who do not quite understand what the other side of the faith is all about. And when it doesn't work out as they anticipated that it would because they had a false image, they then react by saying, wow, is this Christianity? I didn't understand that. Every time I hear some person say with bitterness in their heart, where is God? I know that somewhere along the way, we have not gotten the message across. God's right here. Whoever caused you to think that these difficulties would not come your way? Well, if we in the church are guilty of doing some things like this, I want to hurry on to tell you that Jesus Christ was never guilty of it. It is an interesting thing to notice that while he walked on this earth, there were thousands of people, I believe, who became his followers. But if you read John 6:66, there you have that story of them all going away. Why did they go away? And Jesus looked at his 12 disciples and he said, will you go away too? And they replied, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. But why did the people go? Why does Acts 1:15 tell us very pointedly that at the time of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, do you know how many followers he had? 120. Now here's the Son of God. Here's a man who could change the water into wine, who could still the sea, who could feed the hungry miraculously, who could heal the sick, raise the dead. Here was the greatest communicator of the gospel of Jesus Christ that the world has ever known. And here's a man, when he's all done with his work, his ministry, he's got 120. Why? Because he was honest with them and gave them the full picture of what it is to be a Christian. And when I think of that, I sometimes, and I include myself now, people, I include myself. I wonder how many of us, the 4,200 of us who claim this church as our church home, would really stay with him. Would really stay with him if we knew the cost. Would 400? Who knows? Only the Lord knows. But let's just take a look at it for a moment. As Jesus Christ presented the Christian faith, he gave a very appealing sign. Look at a passage like this. He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Isn't that a marvelous thought? We're cast out in so many different situations in our society. But whoever comes to me, regardless of what your past might have been, regardless of who you are, regardless of what your status is in society, you come to me. I will in no wise never cast you out. Take a passage like this. I came that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. I want you to be happy. You know what? Jesus Christ really wants us to be happy. It was so much fun to stand up here this morning and watch you sing Onward Christian Soldiers. I tell you, you were smiling, many of you, from cheek to ear to ear. That's the way it should be, you know? The worshiping congregation on a Sunday morning, singing their praises to God Almighty. What a marvelous thing that is. The abundant life and all that is included in that. He is also the one who said to us, I go to prepare a place for you, and when you die, I will come and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also for all eternity. Isn't that marvelous? Not hard to buy an offer like that, is it? But the same Lord Jesus who gave us these great glowing passages is the one who presented the other side of being a Christian. And so he started with himself. And this day, now notice, if this is chronological in the Gospel of St. Matthew, and I'm going to take it that it is, last Sunday he said, I'm going to build my church, I'm going to build a great big kingdom, I'm going to consist of all of those who believe in Jesus as Savior and Lord. It's for here on this earth, it's for all eternity. And they were just thrilled. Peter was jumping up and down, I'm going to be a part of the church. Now in the second breath, he turns around and says to them, okay, now we're going up to Jerusalem, and I'm going to have to suffer many things at the hand of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and then I will be killed. But on the third day, I'll rise again. Now that was the other side of the ministry of Jesus. He's now not building a kingdom, he's going up to offer himself to be killed, and Peter hurries out and says, oh Lord, that can never happen to you. And Jesus turned to that man whom he had praised in last Sunday's text. He had praised him for being the great disciple. He turned and said, get thee behind me, Satan. For you who was once an encourager for me have now become the instrument of Satan to be my discourager. In other words, he was going to have to suffer. And the interesting thing has been said so well by the great theologian who gave his life for the cause of Jesus Christ, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The lifestyle of the Christian is and must be correlated with the suffering of Jesus Christ. Spelled out in perhaps a little simpler language, the suffering of our Lord Jesus is also some of the suffering that his disciples will follow. So there are blessings and there are hardships. Let me just give you two contrasts. The gospel of Jesus Christ talks continually about acceptance. When Jesus Christ is my Savior, then I have been accepted by God. Because he died on the cross for me, I have the forgiveness of my sin. And when God looks at me, all of my sin is taken away. I am cleansed, I am restored into fellowship with God. That's the primary offer that I want to make clear to those of you who today might not be Christians who are worshiping with us. In Jesus Christ, you have the forgiveness of your sin, restored into fellowship with God. All kinds of stories about that in the New Testament. I love that story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus' life was completely out of relationship with God. But Jesus came one day and lived in his house, and there evidently gave him the gospel. We don't know just what Jesus said. But Zacchaeus received Christ as his Savior. His sins were forgiven. And he became an entirely new person. He was accepted by God. Stop and think of what that is, to be accepted by God. Or you take the woman at Samaria, at the Samaritan well. Jesus enters into a conversation with her. She was a woman who'd been married 5 times, and the person she was living with was not her husband. But when he was done with her, she had received him as her Savior. Her life was different. She was the accepted person of God. In other words, God is ready to accept us. That's a good message to hear. That's a big part of the Christian faith. No question about it. It's a primary part. Not only that, am I accepted by God, but I am accepted by the family of God. My brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, that's what a congregation is all about. We surround one another with love. We're concerned about one another. Lady who has experienced some flood damage in her home turned to me the other day and said, look what one of the members gave me a member of the church in another community, when she heard that I, her sister in Christ, was suffering from the flood. And there was a check. Can't understand it. I said, she's your sister in Christ. That's a family of God. We're accepted. Now what's the other side of this message? The other side is that if you walk closely with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will experience rejection. Are you ready for that? Rejection is hard to experience. You can't be all things to all men. You'll be rejected. So one of the great problems for young people, my heart goes out to these young people, because they know that if they walk closely with the Lord Jesus, it's not going to be easy. They'll be rejected. Talked to the gentleman the other day. He said, well, I'm unemployed. Tell me about it. He said, I had a good job. I could still have the good job. But he said, the way that company was doing business, I simply, as a Christian, could not be a part of it. So I went in and talked to them about it, and he said, I didn't talk to them over piously. I just said, I can't go along with this. And the answer was, join us or leave us. Simple as that. Join us or leave us. And so he said, I left. Left a good salary. Left a lot of security. Left a lot of benefits. That's the other side of being a Christian. Take another comparison. Abundance. Going back to that message, that statement that I've used again of Jesus, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. There's no question, friends, that the Christian faith brings us all kinds of blessings. The abundant life. Summarize it all, it's grace, isn't it? It's grace where God is able to reach down and to accept me as I am. It's grace that gives me the power and strength to face every difficulty that comes my way. But the same Lord Jesus who said that I came that you might have life and have it abundantly is the one in our text today who says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's the other side of it. I'll give you all kinds of things. These are the things that I expect from you. So when he tells us that it's necessary for us to deny ourselves, what's all included in that? You know, that becomes a very difficult thing for me to preach on without being a hypocrite. Because I look around, I try to figure out some things that I'm denying myself. I can't find one thing that I'm denying myself. That's awful when it comes to the material. But I had gotten into the wrong way of thinking about this text. I'd lived with it so long and I had a mental block. I thought, well, it means the giving up of material possessions primarily. In other words, if I was going to take a vacation, I could have a little bit of guilt, especially if it wasn't a luxurious one, because maybe I should leave this thought of a vacation and give the money to some good cause. Or maybe if I were going to trade automobiles, I could let it go for another year. And if I traded, I get just the bare essentials. So if you get something all jazzed up, then you live with guilt every time you look at the blessed thing. Is that what he means? Denying yourself? Or mom looks at the Davenport and she said, it's getting threadbare. Maybe we better have another one. And dad in his piety could say, well, maybe we ought to make it go one more year. Huh? One more year and we'll give that to some disaster. I sat at coffee the other day with our staff. Wonderful group of people. You ought to come in and have coffee with us. 10 o'clock, 3 o'clock, any day. Bring some cake along with it. We'll give you the coffee. We sat there chewing away on some of these things, and I said to them, you know, I'm having an awful time with this sermon. What does it mean to deny? You tell me what it means. I got some tremendous thoughts. My time is running out. I've got to quit, but let me share some of these with you. Number one, one of the fellows said, you know, if I followed my own sinful way, my income tax return would look a whale of a lot different than it does when I send it on to Washington. Because I could screw that thing up in such a way that they would never know, and I would be able to have a considerable amount of money that really belongs to the United States government. I could rationalize and say they waste it anyway. But he said, because I'm a Christian, there is an inborn power within me, given there by the Holy Spirit, which says, no, sir. So you deny yourself the natural reaction to cheat from the government and hand it over. That's denial for me. Second person said, denial for me, she said, is following the appetite, not following the appetites. We live in a very immoral society where there's all kinds of adultery. I'm not so sure, she said, how I would live if it were not for the fact that I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that means that all immorality of that kind is out. No sex outside of marriage. Now that doesn't mean that I don't have appetites, but it means that lovingly and willingly and wantingly, I deny those appetites. That's what it means to me. Another one turned around and said, it means that I am going to deny myself the right to just go into an outrage against somebody who has really hurt me. Where I'd like to say to them, boy, this is what you did to me. You understand what you've done? Get out of my life. But rather than that, I deny myself that, which is natural. Don't tell me it's not natural, she said. And I go to my bedroom and I pray for that person. Take up your cross. Deny yourself those things that are the natural human being that are still there, even though they are forgiven. Deny yourself and live according to God's way. The other person said, and I thought this was tremendously interesting, I deny myself the privilege of remaining silent when the word of God has to be spoken. When it's so easy for me just to be silent and I know what is being said is wrong. But I don't want to say it because I don't want to isolate myself from these people. So I just remain silent. No, I deny myself that privilege and I speak up, thus saith the Lord. That's the way it is. I think the staff had good insight into what this is all about. So if you are a Christian today, take a look at your life. Think of the natural desires that you have denied yourself. Maybe it's gotten to the place where you don't even feel it's denial today. Things that you by nature would do that you don't do. As a Christian, your life is different. What does that say to you? It says that God has been at work in your life. And because you are a follower of His, you're not only willing to accept all the appealing things, but you're willing to accept those things that are contrary to the flesh. God has brought us a long way. I looked at my own life. I thought, man, I am denying myself quite a bit. Is that Homer Larson who's done that? No. That's a work of the Holy Spirit through that old word to the place that the more you love the Lord Jesus, the more you're willing to deny yourself those things that are of the world. Is He finished with us? No, He isn't. He won't be till He gets us home to heaven. And He looks into our face and says, okay, now we're really going to straighten it out, huh? But in the meantime, He's working with us. For those of you who may be here this morning who are not Christian, God loves you. He really loves you. And He wants to lay it before you today that He's got all kinds of blessings to give you. Your life will really be full and rich if you'll commit your life to the Lord Jesus. But He also wants you to know that if you follow Him, your life will be changed. So if you like it the way it is today, satisfying your appetites and walking according to the flesh, then you have to count the cost so that down the road, you won't say, wow, if I had known it was this heavy, I think I'd have remained just a church member. This is one of the great truths that I believe needs to be emphasized, for many people do not understand it, that there is the other side of the Christian faith. Amen.
This has been Homer Larson Live, a series of sermons preached from the pulpit at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa, where Pastor Larson served from 1953 to 1996, and published by Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry, where Pastor Larson was a broadcast preacher from 1962 to 2013. In addition to this series, many of Pastor Larson's radio programs dating back to the early 2000s are archived on the CC Broadcast, which is available for free wherever you're listening to this. Besides the CC Broadcast, our weekly radio program, Christian Crusaders also hosts the CC Podcast, Daily Dose Devotions, where we've archived hundreds of devotions on our way through the entire Bible, and the CC Podcast Conversations, which includes dozens of inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. Please see the show notes for links to all these free resources or visit ccpodcasts.com for more information. We want to give a very special thanks to our series sponsor, Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry. Western Home Communities began in the early 1900s as, quote, the Western Old People's Home, quote, a home for the aged, started by the Evangelical Association in one of that denomination's western states, which happened to be Iowa, more specifically, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Since then, a second campus has been added with 150 acres for villas, independent and assisted living, and nursing communities. Today, Western Home Communities remains a charitable Christian service organization that assertively creates fulfilling lifestyles for those they serve. You can learn more at westernhomecommunities.org. Fresh Wind Ministry provides Christ-centered spiritual care and programming within the Western Home Communities. They focus on building trusting relationships with residents, staff, and their families. Chaplains visit, counsel, and walk alongside residents in all levels of care offered by Western Home Communities, including hospitalizations, crisis, and end-of-life care. Fresh Wind Worship has services in the Diamond Event Center every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., which can be viewed on Facebook and YouTube. For more information, visit westernhomecommunities.org/freshwind. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry is fully donor-funded. If you'd like to support our work, you can do so online at christiancrusaders.org or by mailing a check to Christian Crusaders, 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Also, feel free to email us with questions or for more information about this episode or any of our other programs. You can send emails to info@christiancrusaders.org. Thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you.